All right, everybody, welcome, welcome. It is time for another Toolbox Tuesday.
Yeah, we're continuing on this big topic. Something we talk about every single day, basically with our doctors and our team, treatment planning and all the parts and pieces that kind of go into it. So a little bit of a multifaceted conversation, but I think it's really valuable.
So if you have not been with us before, every Tuesday in our practices is Toolbox Tuesday. That is the theme of our huddles, and we pull out one of the hundreds of resources we have available in our asset arsenal and really do a deep dive into one of those resources to ensure that we are all on the same page. And for the last couple of months now, we've been in a series. We did our exam flow series and our exam analysis process. Now we're in the elements of production success series. So we initially talked about how we developed this with our doctor team. Last week, we were talking about having team feedback on some of these things, and we're going to finish up on the case acceptance portion of this before we move on to efficiency. So if you weren't with us last week, go back and listen to that episode so that you can be caught up on what our proficient exams are, said receiving feedback from your team, and then how we're actually measuring case acceptance. And then today we're going to follow up on the last item in the case acceptance category we mentioned a little bit last week, and that is your individual case acceptance in line with other providers in the practices? You know, on the one hand, we don't want our doctors to just constantly being comparing themselves to other doctors, but it is nice to have those metrics. You know, if everyone is floating in the same category and kind of the same percentage, then you know that's a trend practice-wide. If you're seeing a dip that other providers are not having, then you have to look in the mirror a little bit and say, hey, this might be something that I need to do a deep dive in for myself if someone is having greatly different case acceptance. And this is where it's also, we talked about last week how we measure our case acceptance based off of scheduling. And this is where it can become really important when, especially if you're comparing yourself to other doctors, because you may have a doctor that has a little bit more specialty skills. They may be presenting much higher dollar amount treatment plans. So their percentage might be different of what they're scheduling, but that dollar amount doesn't lie. So it ultimately turns into the dollar.
Yeah, and I think this is very critical that you're comparing apples to apples, like Jennifer said. And so I think it's a huge benefit to have a group that you have very similar or the same, in our case, team members that you're working with. All of our team members, all of our doctors kind of work with all three offices. And so they're kind of going back and forth. So there's not really one team in one office, one team in the other office per se. There are definitely some more regulars, that's for sure. But for the most part, people are kind of going back and forth. And so it really is an apples to apples comparison, which is really nice. That definitely has some challenges, don't get me wrong. But it's a nice for in a lot of different ways. And this is one of them too. But that doesn't mean that you can't compare what's going on across different practices and things like that. And this gets into a little bit of a topic of honesty between doctors in the industry. And that is a huge issue where I don't think a lot, hardly any doctors really tell other doctors at meetings or in their study groups what's really going on in their own practice or how well they're doing or comparing things. And so having some place that you can be very honest and you can also have other people be very honest with what's going on and what's working, what's not working, and what you're seeing, it is really critical. And it's a hard thing to find. I think it's definitely something we found with our doctors and with our clients. And we really try to promote that honesty and that feedback. But if you don't have that, I think it's very critical to find that somewhere, you know, and at least like we talked about with the last episode with your team members and getting that kind of feedback, but definitely looking for doctors and different practice owners or different associates that are, you know, in a similar situation to bounce ideas off of and really see, okay, what's working? Are you seeing the same things in the economy? Are you seeing the same things with the patients? Are you seeing patients shipped around a little bit more? Are you seeing your case acceptance lower on this for this reason? Is patient financing working? Is patient loyalty plans, is that working right now? What's happening? And I think, you know, you got to kind of look at it a little bit with a critical eye, but finding that honest feedback is something that will be a huge benefit in how fast you get feedback and how fast you progress.
We've talked about this on our Toolbox Tuesday episodes before. There's always going to be something. I mean, yes, we're seeing, you know, countrywide a downturn for 2024 as a whole, but it's always milk chocolate day, right? It's the first day of school, it's Christmas break, it's Thanksgiving. there will always be, again, the difference between an explanation and an excuse. There's always going to be an excuse for it, and you could excuse your way out of production, or you can look at how can we make the most out of that opportunity. Thanksgiving week, for example, most of the dentists in our area are closed for that entire week. We're not, we don't work on Thanksgiving Day. We don't work the day after Thanksgiving. We're not monsters, but we're here for patients for a part of that week. And we've had some super productive weeks because college kids are home or people are off of work and they're trying to get things done. So again, don't just assume everybody's on vacation and they're not going to schedule Thanksgiving week or the same thing between Christmas and New Year's. Yes, there are going to be people out of town. There are also people who are not leaving town and are trying to use their benefits before the end of the year. So don't just automatically assume and talk yourself out of production unnecessarily.
Yeah, and I think that part gets into a little bit too, is always finding an excuse too. And I think we've seen this so many times. I've been guilty of it. Everyone's been guilty of it. But saying, oh, it's August. People are getting back to school. It's always August, right? It's always December, right? Or whatever it is. That we've had some of the most productive months, I think even this year was August or December and things like that. And so, there's, like Jennifer said, I always kind of laugh because she says it so often, but there's always milk chocolate day, right? There's always guacamole day. There's always whatever, National Pet Day, whatever this is, right? There's always an, if you want an excuse for why you're not scheduling as much, you're always going to find one.
You're going to find it.
And you're going to find multiple, right? And so, and if, are you looking for an excuse, or are you looking for a way to really get some feedback to make yourself better? And having those milk chocolate days, or having those Augusts or those Decembers not really matter, or predicting them and working your schedule around it to make up for that, right? Working more days, doing more wisdom teeth in December, or doing more wisdom teeth in August, or whatever it is, like working some of those things in so that you don't have finding ways around those kind of dips throughout the year. Because around the country, there's a lot of areas where there's dips every year in certain areas. These are places that are seasonal, for example, where Florida or in mountain towns, things like that, where people just aren't there for certain parts of the year. And so, I mean, you're really making a lot of your income on 6 or 8 months a year. And we've talked a lot of dentists that do things like that. And so really kind of finding ways to guard against that and make yourself better so that those dips really don't matter as much.
Well, and we have talked about it before here for our doctors, for our private clients. Our goal is to have all of our doctors be $1 million plus producers. And doing that, you also have to make sure that you're not just comparing yourself to the doctor down the street who is producing $400,000, $500,000. You can't do the same things and fall into the same traps for a doctor that's producing that when you want to produce double that. We have to make ourselves stand out. All right, so moving on to efficiency, completing the scheduled treatment within the appointment block. This is one that we look at and doctors look at that. Of course, I'm doing all the treatment that's scheduled in that appointment block. And how many times do you have a crown prep with composites? Because we all have a deep love for the class two composite in the dental world, and those composites are pushed off to the cement appointment, right? You're going to get the crown done and they're coming back anyway. I'll just do the composites at the cement appointment. That cement appointment turns from a non-production appointment to a production block that now is taking time in your production schedule. It happens sometimes, right? If you have the example that I used last week about the patient that's an hour late because they had the flat tire, okay, maybe it's not possible for you to do that treatment in that time block, but don't just give yourself an out. We've talked a lot with our doctors about this. If they're just hoping, hope is not a strategy. They're hoping that they have the treatment done. That's not part of your commitment to your patient. And if you're constantly kicking the can down the road, that's also giving you a false positive of, well, I scheduled XYZ. Well, you double dipped because you scheduled that twice, right? That wasn't really true case acceptance. And if you're just trying to find a way to make yourself feel warm and fuzzy, that's not reality. And patients schedule out their time with work and whatnot. It's one of our core values that patients know what to expect, how long their appointments will be, and what treatment will be completed within that appointment.
Yeah, there's two things that I think are easy fixes here. And I'm always shocked. And we look at a number of practices for acquisition or mergers, things like that, over the, constantly, almost every week. And I'm always shocked when we kind of get into the schedule or get into the treatment planning and things like that, and how many of these cases are taking 3, 4, or 5 different appointments. And these are cases that should take one or two. And I mean, they're not, and we're not even talking about crazy things. And I think this comes from two different places. It comes from one, daily goals, or just goals in general. And it just comes from the second one of just being busy. And the first one, meaning goals, is if you have a daily goal or you have a weekly goal, kicking some of that treatment onto the next week, month, whatever it is, means you're not hitting that goal, or you're not getting as much in that time period as you can. And so having kind of a financial or a production goal in those time periods is really, really critical. The second thing that I think is even better, and I think I wanted to bring this up on the last one about, patients moving around and rescheduling, but when you're busy, meaning you don't have a lot of time in the next 2 or 3 weeks, if any, you get that composite done in that appointment. Because you don't want to block off another hour next week or 2 weeks later that's going to be very non-productive to do a couple of composites that you should have done this week. And because that's going to prevent you from doing something bigger and more productive in that week. And time becomes very, very valuable. And the second part about that is what I wanted to say on that emergency. I know this is a little bit of a tangent, but when patients don't have another place to go, or the doctor knows that they don't have another place to schedule, they don't reschedule those appointments. And I think that kind of goes hand in hand with the same topic. So, when you're busy, when you keep yourself busy, you get things done. You know you have limited time, right? It's a whole mindset of if you want something done, give it to the busiest person you know. It's the same thing. If you want something done right, you give it to the busiest doc that you know. And I think, really making sure that you have a full schedule, not talking about being a mill, not talking about, running four separate columns, things like that, but having a consistent schedule where you're really prioritizing your production per hour, you're really looking at your production per hour, and you're getting those things done, and you're scheduling as much treatment as appropriate in every hour that you're scheduling with that patient.
Well, and it was a little bit of a shift for us and with our doctors, especially doctors who had had experience in other practices, the way that we schedule, because we build everything into the appointments that we have. So that's pre-op time, that's finances with the front office, that's cleanup time, setup time, all of the things are built into that appointment. And the doctors would look at, 2 hours for a crown prep and two fillings, and I have 2 hours to do a crown prep and two fillings. No, you don't. That's not all your time. That's also assistant time. It's, kind of the age old, well, how much time will it take you? Well, how much time do you have? And that's how long, that's how much time it's going to take you. And really where the shift came with this was when IV sedation was incorporated in the practices, because you cannot, I mean, you can, but you're not going to have happy patients. You cannot have a patient who's coming in for IV sedation, has rides, work coordinated, and you only get half of their treatment done. That is not a good day for you or for them. So, really looking hard from a clinical competency standpoint and where can I improve those efficiencies, because I got to get it done. This is taking it to another level.
I would argue even that the IV sedation really just highlighted that issue for us in our practice too. And this was not a huge problem because we became very busy very quickly. And this was something that we had to address really quickly. But just because a patient has a ride and work blocked off and all these different things for IV sedation, that shouldn't be the only reason that you get treatment done in that one appointment. You should prioritize your time and the patient's time every single appointment that you have. And that is impressive to patients. That's impressive to team members. And when you say, hey, I'm getting these three crowns done in an hour and a half, whatever it is, and you get it done and you're 5 minutes early, 10 minutes early, and things are clean, things are neat, they're out the door, payments taken, the whole nine yards, it is really quick and efficient, and they are in and out, back to work, back to pick up those kids from school, whatever it is. That's impressive. And right, wrong, or indifferent, efficiency and speed is what impresses patients. It's not the feather margin. It's not all these different things. We go, we need to do the job right, make sure it works, it's predictable, and make sure it's very, very efficient, because that is what the patients prioritize. That's what they think is good dentistry.
It's all about the entire experience. It's not just you, doctor, drill in hand. It's their view of the entire experience. All right, and then we go to maximizing opportunities. No missed exams. I know that this seems like also an obvious one. This metric hurt Jennifer on the inside. This metric turned into a weekend project for Jennifer when I started looking at, like, hey, we didn't do this patient's exam, and hey, we didn't do this patient's exam. Doctors, you will be shocked when you start to look at how many exam opportunities you have on your schedule with the existing patients you already have. And it's very easy to fall into the trap of, I just need new patients. Now, new patients drive production. There's no argument there. Your existing patients are not worthless, though. They break teeth just as often as new patients do. They might be in a healthy phase now. So it's a perfect opportunity that you can talk about aesthetics or ortho or some of the elective treatment that they're planning out for. Don't discard your existing patients. Those are also the patients who are going to send you referrals. So make sure you are doing your exams on a regular basis. And in our practices, because Jennifer needs to have an image for everything and a saying for everything, it's Oprah. Okay. We have every day, and I tag the doctors in it so that they're aware, right? Because the doctor's first thing was, I didn't know I was missing that exam. Well, did you do that exam, doctor? We have an image of Oprah. You get an exam, you get an exam, you get an exam. And Oprah appears, and we don't miss any exams for the day. So treatment opportunities at the ready are right there, bird in the hand.
I can vouch for it. Oprah's there a lot, almost every
Oprah
day.
is there a lot. Oprah makes an
Which
appearance.
is,
She's a team member at this
I
point.
thought it would get old, and it's still going after all these years. But Oprah's still going. But this is one of those things where I think is another one of those prioritizing the appointments that we have on the schedule, prioritizing our time. And there's a little bit of slop that happens in dentistry because of the recurrence that happens with patients, how many times they come in a little bit. Oh, we'll just get them next time. Oh, I'm busy. I'll just get them next time, things like that. And yeah, well, that might be okay sometimes for a long time standing patient that really doesn't have any treatment, things like that. But too often that we let things go, we don't find things, we don't have those touch points, and it just looks sloppy. And I think, you know, when you are deciding whether to do an exam or not do an exam, that's always a decision throughout the day. And instead of a hard, fast protocol where something's on the schedule, I do it. And so, you know, and that takes more brain power sometimes to decide, am I doing this exam or not doing this exam? And am I going to finish this off this case, or am I going to pop into hygiene, whatever it is? So it really, I think, holding yourself to a higher standard and holding yourself saying, I'm going to follow whatever is on the schedule, being a slave to that schedule, which I think is a very healthy thing to do, even though that's the word slave. I think that's really something that we really need to prioritize even more, and make sure that if it's on the schedule, if they're due once, twice a year, whatever it is, whatever we decide in our practices or protocol, we do that. We do that exam, period. Period.
Well, they're already in your chair.
They're
You're
already
gloved
there.
up, masked up, the whole, like, come on. You know, like,
Prioritize
that's
the
just,
patient's
you know.
time and/or to them. Exactly.
And this goes along with the second point. That is re-reviewing pending treatment with a patient before they leave. This is something that goes along with case acceptance. If a patient is starting with some treatment, that's a win. But when you have them in the chair, there is never going to be a better touch point than that. I don't care how great your email system is, phone calls with your front office. When they have that intraoral photo full screen in front of you, hey, let's see where the status of this is right now. There's never going to be a better opportunity to have a better shot at getting them back on the schedule. And, you know, praising them for, like, they're getting started with somewhere. Okay, let's reevaluate where the priorities are so that they also know that you're not just looking at them as a crown on the schedule, right? Yes, you have to go back to your notes, remind yourself of XYZ. Remember, we talked about the upper right last time. Those things matter to people. And if you're not showing them that that treatment is still important, they're not going to prioritize it either. The doctor and whoever must have just mentioned it, and it's really not important because they didn't say anything this last time. Planting seeds for optional or aesthetic treatment. We talk about planting seeds. Yes, it's a little cheesy, but plant the seeds and they will grow. We are not the office that is going to push aesthetic treatment on patients. We are not the office who's going to tell every patient that they need ortho. Yes, 90% of, if you want an ideal dentition, 90% of people could use ortho. We're not going to be the office that tells everyone they have to do XYZ. We also are not going to be the offices that don't tell people the options that we have available for them. And if it's not something that they're interested in, that's fine. We want them to know that they have an option. Maybe it's not an option they're interested in. Maybe they want it for their husband. Or they have a friend that might be interested in it. You know, we had a really hard pain point with this, with a clear aligner case. This was maybe 10 years ago now, Sten, where a patient came in and had started clear aligners at another office. And we said, oh, you know, we didn't realize that you were interested in orthodontic treatment. She said, I didn't know that you did it here in the office. I would have stayed here if I had known that you had done it. And it
That's a
was a
bad thing.
knife through our heart, you know? That was on us. Make sure your patients know the services that you provide.
And I think this is we call this in our practices is packets and brackets. So basically what this means is there's a lot of people that just aren't financially ready or they're not ready for certain treatment. We're talking about mainly elective treatment right now. We're not talking about the cracks, cavities, infections, things like that. Hey, I'm interested in ortho. Hey, I'm interested in doing veneers later down the line. Hey, I'm interested in whitening or something like that. Something that's not critical, right, to that time right now. Patient has no idea how much it costs. They have no idea what the steps are. They have no idea what the time commitment is, things like that. What we do in our practice is we give them as much information as possible, and we have different sheets that explain a lot of those different procedures and commonly asked questions about those procedures, and we call it packets. So that's our packet, and we bracket fees for them, right? This is about what this treatment will cost, whether it's, one tooth, five tooth, ortho, whatever it is. And what that does is it gives them a little bit of context to kind of think about it, mill it over, and it does a little bit better job, I think a lot better job actually than just handing someone a treatment plan when they're really not ready for it, right? And really, it also, why are you just slapping a treatment plan down when you haven't really gone through some of the steps that some of these cases take in order to get a really detailed treatment plan, right? They don't take a lot, but sometimes they do take scans, they do take x-rays, they do take a little bit more measurements, things like that. And so, in the records appointments or whatever that is. So it's something that it kind of preps the patient for that second consult, which is, whether it's you doing it or the guy down the street, whoever's doing the second consult is always teed up a little bit. I mean, they definitely have the easier job. There's no doubt about it. We see that all the time, and I know you guys do too. But it's, planting those seeds with whatever system you have is very, very critical. Now, that doesn't mean shying away from giving someone a treatment plan that's ready, because we definitely want, if someone's ready, we don't want to be resistant to giving someone a treatment plan if they're going. But we absolutely do not want to give someone a treatment plan with a hard, fast dollar amount on it if they have no idea what the cost is, or they're not ready for it, or they're just asking curious
For
questions,
information.
finding out a little bit more, right? And so there's a little bit of delineation there. There's a lot of reading the room and from the doctor's, standpoint about, what type of bucket this patient's in those situations. But there's some easy ways to identify those triggers.
And then, are you adding specialty services to your skill set? Now, we are not saying that everyone should be doing all services all the time. And we take adding specialty skills very seriously. We're very passionate about continuing education and making sure that our doctors are expanding their clinical skill set. But we also know, especially as general dentists, that they're going to be held to the same standard, if not higher, than specialists will be if they're taking on a case that is outside of their scope. So we take those cases very, very seriously. But hey, you can have additional training in aesthetics. You can add IV sedation. Maybe you're taking on some endos. We're not saying taking on every calcified MB2 retreat situation, but single double canals, patients love it. If you can do endo and crown prep in one appointment, that is a way to rise above. So those are opportunities. Again, are you interested in ortho, doing some clear aligner cases, looking for opportunities that you can expand your offerings to your patients.
Yeah, and I think, we really have a belief in a handful of different services that I think really complement the general dentistry. And I think, in my opinion, every general dentist should be doing these core set of services. That doesn't mean you have to, right? And I think, 80% of the endos, I think 80%, 90% of the extractions, I think, definitely doing at least some oral sedation and having very aesthetic eye about kind of what some of the cases that you should do and some of the occlusion and things like that. What the next step is definitely getting some full mouth rehab, definitely getting some more, higher, more complicated occlusion cases, IV sedation, wisdom teeth, things like that are kind of the next step. But those tend to be what the general dentistry patient is looking for the most often. And it also is those services that can be done in concert with a lot of the other services that we provide, meaning like you can do extractions with bridges, extractions with implants, extractions with dentures, things like that. And so we definitely, that's one thing I forgot to say, is I definitely think a heavy removable portion is really critical too in a lot of areas. But having those core set of services or skills that you have is really not an easy way, but it's a very predictable way to get you to that million and above. level. That's not to say that you need it. You definitely do not. But, and it's also not to say that just because you're doing that, you're going to get there automatically. But I think it definitely, we see it time and time again. It's those are the kind of boxes to check if you really want to have a predictable path.
So we will be finishing up this series next week where we talk about the marketing aspect of things. So in the meantime, if you would like to connect with us and discuss our private client options that we have available, our website is pathwaydentalsolutions.com. You can also register for our weekly newsletter if you are not already on our newsletter list. Our email is connect@pathwaydentalsolutions.com, and we are on all of the social media platforms. So feel free to reach out and we will be happy to help you. And we will be back next week to finish out this series.
All right, see you next time.
Bye.